We got your hot dog for nowhere.
Say what? Oh, this is Brian. Call me the Wings of Maybe Gardner, coming to you from Ramblon Towers Dungeon Studio in Scenic, Hespler, Ontario. You are listening to the Surprise Midnight Podcast of Ramblon Radio, episode number 73. Ramblon Radio is the only dedicated podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RamblonRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and other stuff. Right now I have a video up, of Jimmy Page's promo video for his book, for instance, put up today, as well as a piece, sorry YouTube guys, you just got a bunch of my arm, as well as a bit about a surprise Robert Plant show, and we'll talk about that. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes, and if you go to iTunes, leave a review. It just helps them to notice us, me. Listen on Spreaker, and I said this last week, everybody, go to Spreaker. It's S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Go. Find Ramble On Radio, follow me. You don't have to listen to the podcast on Spreaker. You don't have to do that. But it's there, and if you follow me, if I get enough follows, then I can kind of apply to get into iHeartRadio, which is a cool thing. We'll put it in front of a pile of people. And also check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And I do try to respond to stuff. The busy life outside of podcasting and blogging, however, prevents me from always doing so. I do try. All right. So, how was everybody's week? Okay. I'm for the YouTube people. I'm behind on the YouTube videos. I'm actually today getting up. This morning I got up the YouTube video from 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago even it was, I think, number 71. 72 is uploading, I think, as we speak. I certainly got about 24% of it uploaded before I started rolling here. I'm hoping the iPad is doing both things, recording this video and uploading that one. But I don't know for sure. It may be a day or two before that one gets done, maybe a week before this one gets up. But they're getting up on YouTube, slow but sure. Whether it's worth, I don't know. If you want to see my Jimmy Page mug, there it is. Then go to YouTube and check it out. And let the ads roll. If you're on YouTube, let the ads roll. Do me a favor, will you? Hey, look, I don't ask you guys for money, right? 30 seconds of your time. Come on. I do. If I'm on YouTube and it's some corporate thing or it's NBC or whatever, I pass the ads. They got enough money. But if it's, I'm teaching myself to play a bit of violin these days. And, I mean, I play guitar for years, so violin's not a huge jump, so it's not something I need to necessarily go and get lessons. There's a couple of people do online, and I let the ads roll. They're doing me a service, so let me get them some money without actually reaching into my pocket. But anyway, that's enough about how you can pay me. Hey, listen, this is going to be a great month to be a Led Zeppelin fan. It is going to be a great month, but it's not a great month yet. But it's going to be a great one. There's a lot going on. There's next Tuesday. This is Wednesday. And I'll be putting this up on Thursday, so. Confused? Yeah, me too. Next Tuesday, Jimmy Page by Jimmy Page, the autobiography, the hardcover, affordable working man edition, hits the shelves. I got it pre-ordered. I have no idea when it's coming. Oh, geez, the hair is awful. I got to get a haircut. But that's hitting the stores next Tuesday. It should be in your mailbox ish of the same day. 21st, the week after, is the Robert Plant book by, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Dave Thompson. The Voice That Sailed the Zeppelin, I believe, is the name of the book. It is, as I have noted before, and I will review it thoroughly, both as a written article and on this. It is, I think, the best Led Zeppelin-ish book I've read. It's certainly in a long time. Just because and I'm going to have to reread it before I can really talk about it brightly again for you, but it doesn't delve into the details we all know and love so well, or know and dislike in terms of some stories. For me, anyway, those who listen for a long enough time know which stories I have no time for anymore. But it kind of delves more into the man, Robert Plant, what makes him tick. And so the stories become not so much about, it's not so much the stories about Robert Plant, is how those stories would affect Robert Plant. So it's a bit, yeah, it's really good. Although I read, I think it was on the LedZeppelin.com, somebody else had read it and said it was awful. So there you go. Two completely different, you know, he was kind of on about it. It's like the worst I've seen. So it depends what you're looking for in a book, of course, obviously. And I have to check this week, because what I got is an early print. Do not quote from this without checking. So I have to check on some quotes and stuff before I can say much about it. But it's getting to that point. That is on the 21st, 2 weeks from now, that is released. And so, which means next week I'll hopefully be talking about Jimmy Page by Jimmy Page. I could be talking about the Robert Plant. We could be flipping this. 2 weeks now, the Robert Plant book. But I could be talking about the Robert Plant book next week. I hope not, though. Hope not. I'm not ready for it. And talking about Jimmy Page the week after. Could be how it goes. And then on the 28th, Tuesday 3, we get Four and Houses of the Holy, the remasters. That'll give me Tuesday and Wednesday to think about it before I have to record, to listen to all that new music, to ponder whether it is significant or not, as Robert Plant suggests it's not. So that's the month coming. It's going to be a good month. And so I've had this other topic sitting for now. It was planned for now or maybe next week. And I was wondering if I was even going to get to it. But it looks like I'm going to get to it. Which is good news. Good news. And the people who are on YouTube already know. Because we talk while you guys are listening to the intro. We talk. The intro, by the way, was the hint. Couple of things, though. Okay, so Jimmy Page's book next week. He did a promo video. It really looks like a sensational book. And he is talking about it as it's an autobiography in picture form. He wanted to do something different. And I think it falls in the category of his light and shade stuff. And I've talked on and on, I think, at times about this light and shade. A lot of people think it means loud and soft, dark and heavy, mellow and heavy, electric and acoustic. I disagree. He's an artist. He's done visual art. He's trained in that. And visual art treats light and shade very differently than black and white. Those are two different, the black and white and light and shade are two different things. One's opposites, other are complementary. And light is how you emphasize with light. I shouldn't say emphasize, you actually emphasize with shade. You bring out with light. So as a painter, how you have the light hitting it, even if you're a photographer, should know this. And a great example, look at the video right now of me. Go to YouTube, go to the Well, don't bother, because it's stopped. It's not recording. Oh, this is terrible. Okay, I'm going to hit record. I got to see what's going on. Yeah, that's the old one. There is no new one. Okay, I'm going to start the YouTube video now. Hi, YouTube guys. You missed a bunch of stuff. Go to iTunes. Sorry, this is my fault. But I was just saying, now, we're talking about light and shade. Go to the YouTube video right now. By the way, we're 10 minutes into it. Don't tell the YouTube guys. And if you look at the video as it is right now, I'm kind of sitting in by a window, and there's this fairly harsh light coming onto my face. And I look crap. I look like crap. But a lot of it's got to do with the harshness of the light hitting me. But if I move around, I change how that looks. Oh, that's really weird. You know, and I also have a red, there's like a red curtain by the window, a drape, a sheer kind of drape, and I've kind of got to move to try and tame the light a little, which is giving me a real red tinge. And almost have like a red halo around me, actually, which is to say it probably did a lousy, lousy job of taming the light. But that's, see how the light's hit me, and behind me is the dark, and that's the shade. And on one side of the face, it's too bright. On the other side of the face, I'm too pink. And that's the light and the shade. So how you control the light. Artists control light and shade. Even if you're painting, I mean, we all did it. We created a little cube, and then you shade in the front version to make it look three-dimensional. That's light and shade. The front, the square, which is really what we're drawing, is the light. The shade is the three-dimensional part. So how the light hits an object, how the shade, how it responds to its shade, is how it comes to life in art. And that's what Jimmy Page is always talking about with light and shade. He's trying to bring the songs to life. He's trying to hit it with light from a certain angle, approach it from a certain way. And I'm not doing a good job, and I understand it, but I damn it if I can figure out exactly how to explain it. And I suspect if I ask Jimmy Page this question, when I get to interview him now, yeah, I keep telling myself I'm going to talk to him. Oh yeah, it's going to happen. Robert Plant first though, because Robert Plant's emailed me, telling me how much he likes the podcast. Yeah, I got through that with a straight face. So, I don't know if Jimmy talks about the light and shade, and I think that's the best as he can do to explain it, you know? I don't know that he can really, it's something, but if you go to an art gallery and look at the paintings and look for the light, look for how the shade falls off the light, look at the dark spots, the light spots, and look how they create, how much different that is from just a basic pencil drawing with no shading, you know, you're going to have to use your imagination here. That's what Jimmy Page is talking about, light and shade. So the autobiography falls under the category of, instead of just writing an autobiography, I was seven and I did this, I did that, my first guitar was this, my Uncle Harry took me to the chip shop and taught me to play, you know, like, what was it, Keith Richards, two chapters of Crossing the River to go to the chip shop. Who liked the Keith Richards book? Nah, not me. I didn't. I never got to the bit. I mean, I read that thing and read that thing. I think I've three times tried it. And you read, and you never get to the bit where he's playing in the Rolling Stones. It just goes on forever about nonsense. So, and everybody else thought, oh, it's a great book. Ah, Christ, it needed an editor. Whole chapters needed to be just slashed out of that thing. Right, your Uncle Harry taught you to play guitar. Good. Moving on. You know, post-war Britain, we got a little picture of, okay, good, Uncle Harry, good. Here's your mom, here's your dad, here's you in shorts, good. Click, meet Mick Jagger. You know what I mean? You're on the railway station, boom, you're playing at the clubs. Now, let's slow it down and talk. That's the way an autobiography should work. That's just 150 pages of childhood memories. I'm getting bored. I'm picking up the album. So I'm looking forward to the book and looking at this preview video, which you can link. It's linked to at ramblingradio.com. It looks like a lot of great pictures. It looks really interesting. So I'm looking forward to that one big time. I'm telling you, buy the Robert Plant book. Robert Plant, by the way, is playing a surprise show tomorrow night. It was announced like 5 days ago. It's $125 a ticket. If you got a ticket, your tickets were on sale yesterday. If you got a ticket, congratulations, by the way. Because it's only 800 people. But it's a surprise show. Shh, don't tell anybody. Don't. All those people who spent $125 on tickets for bowling. Shh, Robert Plant's going to be there. Yeah, it's not a surprise show. And I'm not blaming Robert Plant on this one. Some promo guy somewhere has got a hold of this. And it's not a surprise show. Surprise show is, holy shit, that's Robert Plant on stage. I'll tell you a story. Back in 1977, the Rolling Stones played locally at the Elma Combo in Toronto. They were recording for their Love You Live album. Local radio station was doing a contest giveaway. Saturday night, a party with the Rolling Stones will be there. It'll be a party. You had to do this, you had to do that, you had to do that. Come on out for a party with the Rolling Stones with their advertising. Friday night was billed as April Wine. And April Wine was at the Elma Combo Friday night, Saturday night. Which was a decent band. That would have been a big catch. They weren't what they were. They had actually had a couple of hits. They had had a couple of good albums. And then they had fallen off the... So they were kind of a band on the way down. And they managed to pick themselves back up and become a stadium rocking band. But they were playing before that. For instance, they had played Massey Hall, which is where Robert Plant played a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they were that size of a band. And then all of a sudden, so they're doing these gigs at the Elma Combo. So my brother and his friend were going to go down to the Elma Combo and see April Wine. They talked about it. And said, well, we kind of lived in the suburbs, so it was, you know, 45 minutes out of your way. And, you know, you're talking about having a few drinks when you're there, and that's a pain in the ass a bit. So they didn't go. Of course, April Wine was the opening act for the Rolling Stones. Everybody went to see April Wine, got the Rolling Stones. That is a surprise gig. That's a surprise gig. Now, the Saturday night, everybody, A, knew the Rolling Stones were going to be at the Elma Combo. B, the only people who could get in were the people who had won the contest with the radio station. So that was how they handled it. But they got two nights of recording in, but that was a surprise show. Surprise shows aren't when you advertise a week in advance and charge $125 for a ticket. That's just a gig on short notice. That said, Robert Plant is playing for approximately 800 people at a smallish club / bowling alley. I love that bit. Hey, go at 9 o'clock, bowl a few, and then go catch the show, right? Opening set by DJ Questlove, who that means nothing to me. But tickets were on sale yesterday, $125, and you had to get them yesterday. They're sold out now. They're advertising sold out. It was fairly short notice in terms of the tickets you could get, because there's only 800, and you could buy four each. You could buy four, however, they were non-transferable. So the person who ordered the tickets has to go to the show. But how many people do you think ordered four? How many think you got a couple of friends? So really 200, maybe 350, 400 people got tickets for 800 people to be at the show. Could conceivably be only two or 225 got tickets. The vast majority of people ordered four. Who knows? I would have ordered one because, if it's short notice, I'm not risking $125 that I'm going to find somebody else to go, but I don't live in New York as well, right? So who knows? But anyway, if you got tickets to go see Robert, I'm thinking, by the way, that this isn't going to be the standard set. I'm sure he'll do his weird version of Black Dog, and I'm sure he'll do Rainbow and Little Maggie and the stuff he's been doing. But it's just because it's this kind of a show, what it is, small venue, smallish crowd, a little more personable. Would it shock you if he pulled out some old rockers? I'm not thinking he pulled out In My Time of Dying. Has Jimmy show up to help him do it or something? Yeah, I'm not thinking that. Not Led Zeppelin stuff necessarily, but maybe some old stuff he hasn't played in a while from his solo works. Maybe it's the night to pull out, you know, Fool in the Rain, even, like he did with Pearl Jam. But I would be more expecting that he'll pull out some old blues, old rock, Billy, old rockers that you haven't heard in quite a while, if ever, him perform live. Just one of those things, you know. That's what I'm that's my guess. That's my guess. You'll get the standard show plus a couple of throw-in songs that are a surprise. Okay, now that the video's gone, Jimmy Page mug, there you go. Jimmy Page. See how the light affects? See how you can't see? Look at this. This is a great example. You really can't see. The light's throwing off. Then we get it into the shade, and you can see quite clearly what's going on there. And move it around a bit, and the way the shade affects, see the shade on this side, the light on this side, how that changes the dynamic of the whole thing. That's what Jimmy's talking about. Just saying. All right, topic du jour. It was on this weekend-ish, 10 days from now, actually, next weekend-ish, 15 years ago, Jimmy Page was touring with the Black Crowes. If you go back 15 years to today, they probably did a show. They had been touring for a little while, and they toured well into 2000. This is October 1999. But on October 18th and 19th, they played the Greek Theater in Los Angeles and recorded an album. I've talked about the album before. I'm not going to go too in-depth on the album for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is... This is my record store vinyl edition, by the way. Nice inner covers. I'm showing the inner cover. I'm going to show the records too. This is the white vinyl. Actually, this isn't the record store one. This is the one that was out before the record store. I noticed it recently called Rare. I don't think it is, actually. I think that's just somebody trying to make a quick buck. The record store version was red, white, and blue, I think. But anyway, there it is. Jimmy Page, Black Crowes, Live at the Greek. All right, good night, bye. The thing of it is... by the way, if you want to see the shows, the whole shows, go to YouTube. If you guys on YouTube, just wait till this is over, then hit that little search button. But go to YouTube and search Jimmy Page and Black Crowes Greek Theater. And you will get both nights... The entire show, camera shot from the crowd. They're there. And the intro, you heard in the intro, and I will outro with some of it too, Hots On For Nowhere from the shows. The reason I played that is because it didn't make it onto the album. And actually, they may not be from that show. I'm trying to remember now. It may be from a different show. Maybe it wasn't one of those two. No, Hots On For Nowhere is not on my set lists. So it was from another night, but I decided. I was going to go with... Hard to Handle, because it didn't make it onto the album. But then I found that and thought, it's just good. So, what I couldn't find was Hard to Handle, just the Hard to Handle from the Knights, a video of, so I could download it and play it. So that's what I ended up finding as a single song that wasn't on the set. Now, I could have dug into I actually downloaded both videos. I could have dug into those, but I didn't. There you go. But not everything they played made it on to the album. And they did not record one that, for some reason, I had it in my records, and I have no idea where I got the information. October 18th was the night they recorded, but it's clear from the set list from the two nights that they recorded both nights. And I'll give you an example. And now, the set list doesn't change much, and when it changes, it's a straight-up change. It's a one song for another change, so they don't move songs around. They either play, for instance, 10 Years Gone, they play both nights, they play it in the same place. They play it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th, both nights. 8th song, both nights, all the way through. The last song, you know, the ending goes, last five songs are Heartbreaker, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do, a variable. Out in the Tiles, Whole Lot of Love. And the variables are Oh Well or You Shook Me. Both of which. So that's the way it works, right? So the set list side of the set list. Let me give you the set list from the two nights. Night one is Celebration Day, Custard Pie, Sick Again, No Speak, No Slave, What Is and What Should Never Be, Wiser Time, Mellow Down Easy, 10 Years Gone, In My Time of Dying, Your Time Is Gonna Come, Remedy. The Lemon Song, Shake Your Money Maker, Shapes of Things, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Heartbreaker, Hey Hey, What Can I Do, Oh Well, Out in the Tiles, and Whole Lot of Love. On the second night, it starts the same. Celebration Day, Cut by Sick Again, No Speak, No Slave, What Is Should Never Be. The sixth song would be Hard to Handle instead of Wiser Time. Seventh song would be Woke Up This Morning instead of Mellow Down Easy. 10 years Gone, In My Time of Dying, Your Time Is Gonna Come, Remedy. Lemon Song, instead of Shake Your Money Maker, we get Sloppy Drunk. Shapes of Things, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Heartbreaker, Hey Hey, What Can I Do? Instead of Oh Well, we get You Shook Me, Out in the Tiles, and Whole Lot of Love. All right, so that's, you kind of hear how on one, two, three different occasions they swap out a song, one song for another. Otherwise, the same set list both nights. However, neither Wiser Time nor Hard to Handle make the album. So four times they do that, sorry. And then the other six songs that they swap out, all six of those make the album. No Speak, No Slave, and Remedy also doesn't make the album. So of the songs they played that night, No Speak, No Slave, Wiser Time, Hard to Handle, and Remedy don't make the album. And the album does mix around somewhat. Somewhat. It throws, for instance, Shapes of Things from towards the end to towards the beginning. There's, you know, all sorts of moving around. Some songs, like song they played sixth, Mellow Down Easy the first night, they played three, four, five, six, seventh. On the second night, they played Woke Up This Morning. Woke Up This Morning gets slotted in behind What Is What Must Should Never Be, where it kind of goes. Mellow Down Easy goes down to the bottom. It's in the last five songs, sort of thing. So here's how it rates. Here's how it goes. Celebration Day, Custard Pie, Sick Again, just as they did all three nights. What Is and What Should Never Be. Only thing different in there from both nights is No Speak, No Slave is cut out between Sick Again, What Is and What Should Never Be. So Celebration Day, Custard Pie, Sick Again, What Is and What Should Never Be. Woke Up This Morning from the second night. Shapes of Things, Sloppy Drunk from the second night. 10 years Gone. In My Time of Dying, Your Time Is Gonna Come. And that's pretty much in order. The Zeppelin stuff kind of goes in order. It's the other stuff, they move around a bit. The Lemon Song, Nobody's Fault But Mine, Heartbreaker. Hey, Hey, What Could I Do? Mellow Down Easy, which is from the first night, but it's early. It's like the fifth song on the first night. Oh Well. Well, which is from the first night. And it comes, it's like the third last song. So it's moved out a bit. Shake Your Money Maker, which comes from earlier in the set on the first night. And then You Shook Me, Out of the Tiles, Whole Lot of Love, which is the final set of the second night. Okay? Got that? No, I don't either. But anyway, so that's how it goes. Again, I'm not going to go. So the highlights, this is a great album. If you've never done it, pick it up. It's available on iTunes. You don't have to get the vinyl. It's on CD. I think I told the story before. We're in the 90s is my, I'm kind of a little lost on music. I get a lot of promo material for stuff that's about to be released and whatnot. And a couple, 2 weeks ago, I got a new Smashing Pumpkins, their legendary Smashing Pumpkins album from 1994. So I'm sitting down to review it. I kind of put stuff on CD and I'm sitting down to review it. And I've never heard of this album. I've not heard of any songs in this album. This legendary rock album. And they're remastering with bonus material, etc., etc. And I have never heard it. So it's just, and that's just the case of, that's my time of not hear it. I had kids. I had a mortgage. I was working like 60 hours a week. And we had our first house. We were 2 years maybe into our first house. Well, by 1999, I was actually the second house. You know what had happened? We started to get our money under our feet, and then we got the second house, which is this one. And but we had two kids by then. My son was two and a half. My daughter was five. So she was going to school. He was a handful. We were working like crazy. Busy people, and I didn't have time to stop and go. Like I do, and we didn't have the internet we did have the internet. I certainly had the internet by the time I moved to this house, but it was really, it was primitive compared to what it is now. The information was there, but it was harder to find and stuff. But more importantly, hey, 30 minutes, we hit the 30-minute mark. But I was out of touch with it. So I had no idea Jimmy Page was even recording with the Black Crowes. We're just touring with the Black Crowes. Year and a half, the guy, too. I'd never once heard this. So I'm in the... And I'm not buying much in the way of records or CDs and stuff. Because it's more than just... For one, they're $20, right? Which then, it's as if they're $35 now. It's like the price of an album now. And I still don't have a lot of cash, right? So it's a real treat to just buy a video or to buy a CD is an absolute treat. So but we go to the mall. You know, you got kids. What do? You go to the mall. You got to take them out somewhere, push them around the mall. They always need clothes and stuff. So I'm in the HMV. What the hell is this? It's a CD, right? What the hell is this? By the way, you know, I'm talking about, you know, pick this one up here, Tears for Fears. Tears for Fears from the 80s. They're re-releasing that as a deluxe 4-CD set. Got a review copy of it. And that's just the first CD. I've not got the other three moved over to disc yet. So I find this. I'm just drawing this. Oh, shit. Jimmy Page and the Black Crowes. I like the Black Crowes. Now, this is one band I managed to pick up on in the 90s. A bit. You know. The Black Crowes. Oh, I like the Black Crowes. I love Jimmy Page. So you pick it up and you're looking at it and you're going, holy cow, these are all like Zeppelin songs. Oh. And you kind of, it's probably 20, it's a double CD, so it's probably $25, maybe 20, or, you know. And I know the wife, I remember distinctly the wife coming looking over my shoulder going, oh, for God's sakes, buy it. You don't buy yourself very much. And you go, oh, I don't have much money. You know, we don't really have the money for this. No, buy it. Just buy it. And I remember getting it home and being blown away. Putting it on the CD player. I think I put it on in the car. Probably drove to work listening to it. It's probably, you know, because kids were always watching videos and stuff. So you're going to work, you put it in. But I remember putting it in. I remember listening to it going, oh my God, is this good? It's really one of those real, it's, you know, I just love when that happens. It's a real treat to find. And even after buying it, you kind of think to yourself, Chris Robinson's no Robert Plant. Like him or don't, but he's no Robert Plant. Is this going to work? By God, it works so well. And there are some real highlights. I think it's kind of what I'm getting. And I made a note of a couple of them from, I listened to it last night. Sick Again is great. His voice just suits Sick Again so well, and as a band with three guitars, just kind of crunching that out, it really, really works. Shapes of Things is another one, surprisingly. Because the non-Zap one, that really, really works with him. And Nobody's Fault, and in-tune guitars that are actually been tuned properly. That makes Shapes of Things a whole different song from what you know and I know. And Nobody's Fault But Mine. It's just a high, absolute treat to listen to on this album. Downsides, not a lot of downs, by the way. They do roll out some old bluesy stuff that, I could live without. But it's not, I hate this stuff. Oh, 10 Years Gone is another real, real highlight of this. It's so good. Disappointing is In My Time of Dying. And it's just, they pull in the two or three guitars and they try to crunch it. And the guitars don't always sound like they're meshing on this particular song. The tones of this, Page always did it as a one guitar song and he always got the kind of big tone. And in this case, he doesn't do that. And the tone is just, doesn't sound, it doesn't gel the way it should. So you lose some of that kind of real emotional impact of the slide. But that's a guitar player talking who listens for this sort of stuff. But I just thought that was a bit of a disappointment, as it's a song I particularly love and I know live has really got impact. Well, there you go. All right, so that's going to be it for episode number 73. Sorry, YouTube guys, you missed the first 10 minutes. And we had a nice little chat during the intro, I tell you that right now. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might have mentioned in today's show, and I don't think I did. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. Talk to me. Talk to me, people. I try to get back to you. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes and leave a review. Makes them notice me. Listen on Spreaker. Everybody, go to Spreaker. Follow me. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode number 73. Keep it cool, babies.
Switch off the internet.